Thank you, Retro.
How often have you tried to reason with your children, like your parents did with you and their parents did with them? Parents today try to reason with their children. They try to show them what is right and what is wrong. To reinforce right reasoning, parents give rewards. To quit wrong reasoning, parents give discipline. Well, so it is with God. In the days before the Assyrian destruction of Israel, Israel's kings and its people were committing great sins. So as a parent reasons with their child, God reasons with the nation of Israel. He says, "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth." Notice that he calls upon the creation to be an eyewitness of what he is saying to his people. "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have reared up children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nature, nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord, they have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and turned their backs on him." Like a child that has been brought up in a godly home and were taught correctly by the parents and were given every opportunity from their parents to succeed in life, yet the child rebels against that authority. So Israel was rebelling against God. So God, through the prophet Isaiah, calls the people to repent, to turn from their sins. God calls them to reason. He calls them to reason. He calls them to think about the covenant that he had established with them, and that because they had broken the covenant and were non-repentant, therefore all of these curses had come upon them. The Assyrian army was surrounding Israel. This was part of the covenant curses. But God says, though you have rebelled, though you have broken the covenant, yet now, even now, if you would repent, if you would humble yourself and return to me, you will receive all the blessings of the covenant. He says, "Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and whelps and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burn with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before your eyes, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers." God emphasizes that the idolatry and the sin of Israel is so great that if God himself had not sovereignly put his grace upon some individuals, then Israel would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody left. Everyone destroyed. So God then, through the prophet, says to Israel, "Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword." God wants them to reason. He wants them to reason from the covenant, for the people to see that the things that are happening to them are a result of them breaking the covenant. But if they return to the Lord, if they would repent, then God would heal them. He would heal their land. He would forgive their sin. And he would reinstate the blessings of the covenant. If they humbled themselves before God, then the Lord would lift them up. Well, we know from history that Israel did not reason very well. They did not repent, and they were destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Well, today God is still calling his people to reason with him about their sin. God is calling sinners from death to life through Jesus Christ. God allows us to experience the pain and the sorrow of our rebellion in order that we would repent and return to him. God brings us to our knees for the very purpose of showing us the width and the depth and the length of his mercy and love to us. But the evil one, likes to twist things. Where God has so clearly said, if you return to me, I will lift you up. The evil one wants you to reason in a wrong way. He wants you to reason not to the mercies of God, but he wants you to reason in a way that you would not repent, that you would give up hope in returning to God. This is what we need to understand before us here. That the great design of Satan is to get God's people to question the faithfulness and love of Jesus Christ. And the one who listens to what Satan says will reason sinfully and wrongly, but they will reason. I have sinned against what I knew to be wrong. I have sinned against my conscience. I have sinned against my knowledge. I knew it was wrong, but I fell into sin anyway. Therefore, I am just discouraged. I have no hope to be delivered. But you see, the soul who reasons biblically, who reasons correctly, brings the examples of Scripture to us and would say, do I have a reason to be discouraged because of my sin? Absolutely not. Did Peter, when he denied the Lord, when he denied his master, when he sinned against his conscience and knowledge, did not Jesus restore him? Therefore, you can have hope as well, that no matter what you have done, you can be restored. But Satan accuses our conscience by whispering in our ears such things like, yeah, but your sins are great. They are exceedingly great. But if we are to reason biblically, the soul that reasons biblically calls to mind the Scriptures, the product of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians. The church of Corinth was made up of sexually immoral, prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, drunkards, idolaters, slanderers. And Paul says, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. You see, when Satan whispers in your ear and tells you that your sins are exceedingly great. You need to respond by saying, yeah, that's true. As a matter of fact, they're even greater than what I understand and what I know. But the Holy Spirit tells me to repent of what I know and to return to Christ. If the members of the Corinth church were such sinners, but yet they were received by Christ, so can you. Reason now, reason. Is Jesus only a savior, only a mediator of small sins? Are the merits of the blood of Christ only for small sins? Would you add to your sins the sin of calling the satisfaction of Christ mere mediocre? In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, all things are possible with God. He says, all things are possible with God. And you know what the context of that is? Jesus is talking about having your sins forgiven, being saved by God. David says in Psalm 25, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Think about this. Forgive my iniquity, though it is great. How does David reason? He reasons that because his sins are great, therefore he's going to flee to the Lord. Satan would say, no, your sins are great. You need to flee away from the Lord. Oh, but the soul that reasons biblically says, well, the Holy Spirit has shown me, has revealed to me that my sins are great. Now, why would the Holy Spirit reveal to me through the Scriptures that my sins are great? It is because the Holy Spirit wants me to flee to Christ. If David can use the reasoning that because his sins are great, he will flee to the Lord, we can use that same reasoning too. Though our sins be great, greater than what we even know, therefore you flee to the Lord and not away from him. You see, a person is to be humbled for his sin, no matter how small that sin may be. But we are never to be discouraged from seeking the Lord, no matter how great our sins are. Do not listen to the evil one. Do not reason according to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Instead, you reason according to what the Scriptures have shown you, that the blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse you from all sin and restore you to the Father. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I have fallen into the same sin again and again and again. And if I reason from the Scripture says that a dog returns to his vomit. A fool returns to his folly. Therefore, I must be cast off. I must be a fool. I must be lost because I return time and time again to my sin. Reason biblically. Soul that reasons biblically says, yeah, a dog does return to his vomit, and a fool returns because he loves his folly. But a Christian sins over and over again, not because he loves his sin, but because he's weak. He's weak. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans. He says, man, I do not understand myself. I don't understand what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. I don't want to do this sin, but I do that sin. I want to obey, but I don't obey. See, we can tell from that scripture that Paul had this continuing sin in his life. Probably it was pride that's revealed to us in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. But it could have been something that that we don't know of. But maybe the Romans, the church at Romans were well aware of the sin that Paul fell into over and over again. But falling into that sin over and over again did not discourage Paul from seeking the Lord. He says, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." The scriptures clearly say Paul delights in God's word. He loved Jesus Christ. But there were sins in his life that he wrestled with. He fell into over and over again. And why did that happen to him? Same reason that happens to you. We're weak. We are weak. Think about it. Adam, the first man, Adam, was created perfect. But it seems that no sooner was he created perfect, but he succumbed to temptation. Now, none of us are perfect. We have a sinful condition. If he who was perfect fell into sin, how much more so are we going to fall into sin? But because we do, we should not be discouraged in bringing it to the Lord. Does not Jesus himself tell us to watch and pray? Because what? The spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. And did not Peter fall into the hands of Satan because he was weak? Jesus says you need to watch and pray. Peter didn't do that. He slept instead of praying. And then he immediately fell into sin. Paul goes on to say, as he talks about reoccurring sin in his life, he says in Romans 7, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, he reasoned that because he fell into sin over and over again, his only hope would be in Jesus Christ. Why does God in his providence allow you to fall into sin over and over again? Because the Holy Spirit is teaching you, do not trust yourself. You cannot save yourself. You need to look away from yourself. You need to look to Jesus Christ. He is the one who did not fall into sin. And his righteousness is the righteousness that you stand in. Besides, doesn't Jesus tell us to forgive our brother even if he sins against us 77 times in one day? Now, if the Lord commands us to be so forgiving, how much more so forgiving do you think the Lord is going to be towards us? If God will command me, a poor sinner, to forgive so many times, how much more merciful is God to us when we turn from sin and seek His face. But the soul who reasons according to sin, the soul who reasons according to Satan, will say, I have sinned greatly, and now I do not feel as humble for my sin as I should. You see, it's always Satan's way to say to the people of God that you're not humble enough. And so then Satan tries to keep us from approaching the mercy seat of Jesus Christ. Think about it now. Satan says you're not humble enough. How humble do you have to be? Do you have to have a perfect humility to approach Christ? If you do, then none of us can approach Him. Your feelings of condemnation, your feelings of guilt, are never an accurate gauge of God's mercy and love to you. You are not forgiven for your sorrow of sin. You're not forgiven because you come under conviction. You are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did. Your feelings of condemnation, your sorrow of sin, it's never an accurate gauge of God's love for you. You are forgiven because of what Christ did for you, not your ability to mourn for sin. Should you mourn for sin? Absolutely. Is it your mourning for sin that tips the scales in your favor? It is the work of Christ that has already brought the scales down completely. You are forgiven because of what Christ has done for you, and not your ability to repent, not your ability to mourn for sin. Should you do all those things? Yes. But that is not why you are saved and forgiven. Not every decline or slowdown of your affections to God is a decline in God's affection for you. Though you are not humble as you would desire to be, think about this. Though you are not humbled as much as you would like to be, doesn't that humble you even more? And if you are humbled because of your lack of humility, then that is a sign of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It is a sign. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Prophet Jeremiah says. He says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. He thinks about his sin, and his soul is downcast, as it should be. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Do you see how he reasons? Great conviction of sin. Satan would say, oh, great conviction of sin. You need to flee from the mercy seat. You need to flee from Christ. The biblical reason says, great sin, even greater than what I understand.
Therefore, I will flee to Christ, because He and He only can help me.
Though your sins are like scarlet, yet through the blood of Christ, they will be made white as snow. Reason from the Scriptures. Do not listen to the world, the flesh, and the devil, because they will always want you to reason away from Christ. Instead, you reason towards Christ. You reason by using the Scriptures. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert? What did He use? How did He reason to deal with those temptations? He reasoned from the Scriptures. We are to do the same. Our sins are great. Our rebellion is great. Do not ever underestimate your sin and your rebellion. But never underestimate the length and the depth and the mercies of God that are given to you through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that You have not treated us as our sins deserve, but as a father has compassion upon his children, so have You had compassion upon us. Heavenly Father, when we find ourselves being overwhelmed by the world, the flesh, and the devil, let Your Holy Spirit give us direction to Your Word, that we may find direction, that we may find comfort and encouragement. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.